And now, Double D's Wrestle Talk.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us again on another edition of Double D's Wrestle Talk. I'm Daniel. With me is Dylan, of course. And again, we're bringing back Brandon from last week. Brandon, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me again,
guys. I thought I told you last week to let someone else talk, for God's sake. All right, we're going to get moving into the show here. We have, let's start off with our picks from Fastlane. The first thing, at least on our list, we're not going to go in exact order of the matches. Our first match that we did a pick on was Nikki Bella versus Paige for the WWE Divas Championship. Brandon and Dylan both picked Paige. I chose Nikki, and what do you know? Got one right. Nikki wins that one due to a roll-up, but using the tights, and she couldn't even get that right. Goldust and Stardust. All of us were thrown for a loop here. Stardust lost this one. We all picked Stardust to win. Goldust with a roll-up victory, where, again, we had a little botch with the referee count. When you watch the replay, his hand does not hit for a three count, but he does call for the bell. Kane, Big Show, Seth Rollins versus Eric Rowan, Ryback, and Dolph Ziggler in the six-man tag match. Brandon is the one to get it right with the authority. It was one of those you thought it was going to be good considering at least two of the participants, but it was okay. And we'll get into what happened after that match a little later. So, we got it. I'm not even keeping track of score here at this very precise moment. But next was the Usos versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro for the WWE Tag Team Championships. We all win that. Tyson and Cesaro take the titles away from the Usos. And if I'm not mistaken, was clean fashion. I think it was just really good tag team work between the two to help them take those belts. Bad News Barrett defending the Intercontinental title against Dean Ambrose. We all pick Ambrose to win, and we were wrong. Dean Ambrose wins and retained by disqualification. Ambrose, however, walks out that night with the Intercontinental title in hand, kind of like the good old days where we steal the belt. And Rusev, John Cena for the WWE United States Championship. Dylan and myself chose Rusev, and Brandon, you stupid chose Cena. And Rusev walks away with a quote-unquote submission victory over John Cena. He did not actually tap out. He passed out, but in the record books, it will show as a submission. However, I was upset that this did not end clean as Lana made a distraction for Rusev to hit a low blow before putting John in the accolade. Bringing us to our main event, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, winner faces Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31. Brandon and Dylan got this one right with Roman Reigns taking it. I chose no contest because, honestly, I thought creative was that predictable. What do you know? They threw me for a loop. So, I'll add this up later if I don't remind me on Facebook or Twitter. By the way, you're going to hear that advertisement again since we haven't gained any new followers or likes. So, let me know on there at DDWrestleTalk or Facebook.com/DDWrestleTalk. Go there and let me know what our score was. So let's get started here. We had the Fastlane pay-per-view. Overall, I will say not terrible.
No, man, this was an awful show all around. There was not really much to talk home about. It was Botch City. And, you know, this was just the final slap in the face to all the fans who were trying to, you know, try and stay positive with, you know, Daniel Bryan and all that.
I mean, stay positive for Daniel Bryan, yes. Did people really expect him to get that shot? Yeah, probably. But I do applaud Creative for not putting Daniel Bryan through for a second year in a row just because the fans are going to start making the decisions. I personally, besides the botched referee in this one, Stardust and Goldust, it was a slow match, but it was a very back and forth, and it was kind of somewhat entertaining to watch. It was more back and forth strikes, grapples, and reversals for reversals. Botched count.
But we do need to talk about one thing. Stardust. I almost said Cody there. Have you seen the promos he's been doing for online?
No, I have not.
Oh, dude. I mean, well, the one he did after their match at the pay-per-view was pretty good. But there was one, that I think the Raw afterwards, that they had him do online, which is absurd to me, first of all. Why don't you have him do it on the show where everybody will see it? But he did one online where he was saying, you know, get rid of the attitude. We got to get rid of the old dogs. And he pointed out, you know, Kane, Big Show, and a few others specifically, the New Age Outlaws. So I'm thinking they're going to have him do something where he's going to wrestle and beat these guys to, you know, further him up the ladder to facing his brother at WrestleMania. And it's going to give him definitely some good momentum that he needs. Because after their match at the pay-per-view, I mean, it did lose a lot of steam, but their promo did help. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. That and Wyatt and Taker are the only two things I'm really interested in right now.
All right, well, that promo at the end of the match backstage between Dusty, Goldust, and Stardust, I tell you what, it was a great, phenomenal heel promo done by Stardust. Comes in, beats the ever-loving shit out of his brother, tells his dad that Cody's dead, and as far as he's concerned, so is his father, and then straight up donkey kicks his brother in the head into a crate or something, and that man's head bounced. And that was a great moment for me anyway, but you brought up Taker and Bray Wyatt, and I mean, I don't think anyone was really holding their breath here when the lights went out and the gong went off. I mean, Brandon, I mean, you and I, we were in the same room watching this, and the Druids came out, the lights went down, the gong hit, Taker's music, and what did I say? It was Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. Yep.
Needless to say, it was. He came down in a casket, calling out The Undertaker. There have been a few videos online surfacing showing Taker's getting ready to get back into shape. He's got the hair dyed back to black. So it looks like this match is going to happen for sure. Dylan, first, your thoughts on it.
Well, first off, let's just say that The Undertaker is definitely doing his best Rocky Balboa impression right now. Two, you know, I'm fully in favor of it. Compared to the pictures we saw a couple months ago of Taker looking like he was half dead, this is definitely a step in the right direction. Now, I'm not expecting too much from the match at Mania. But, you know, if Taker's definitely prepping himself, then it can only mean so much good is going to happen. Now, I think it's going to definitely hinge on Wyatt these next at least week or two to build the match before Taker comes back on Raw. Because, you know, he only comes back maybe three times depending on the match.
Now, the interesting thing I read, though, was that they very well may be keeping Taker off of television until WrestleMania. As in, kind of replaying what happened back at WrestleMania 20, where all he did was, quote-unquote, haunt his brother through all of his video clips and all the crazy things that went on in the arena. And don't get me wrong, I'm in favor of an Undertaker mind tease. And to kind of see how Bray Wyatt reacts to it, I don't see him putting on the little feared look. I see him freaking laughing through all of this, and it's going to be a phenomenal build-up. Before I put in my take, Brandon, what do you think about this match, Bray Wyatt, Undertaker?
Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Listen, it would have made a lot more sense to me if he would have lost to Lesnar last year, but he didn't. Now, I put this up as a post right after your first show on Facebook. I did this on Double D's Wrestle Talk, ladies and gentlemen, on Facebook. This is my opinion. Had he won against Lesnar last year at WrestleMania, I could see this whole Bray Wyatt thing going down pretty well. As a matter of fact, I'd be in favor of it. In my opinion, the best thing for it would be Undertaker 22-0 last year against Brock Lesnar, and then this year coming out and having his first loss handed to him by Bray Wyatt, because that puts Bray over, and it's just a little bit more believable to me. I don't think Lesnar deserved it, and I mean, you and I were in the same room for that match too, and we were both like, what the actual f-? I mean, it was just dumb. And now I look back on it, and I'm, what's the point of Undertaker even coming back? I mean, you can't tell me that one of the main attractions at WrestleMania, excuse me, is seeing The Undertaker. You know, it's not like he's wrestling full-time now. He's been, you know, one of the main attractions at WrestleMania, solely at WrestleMania for years. And now that the streak's over, it's almost kind of like, well, you know, what's the point? I mean, I honestly don't think that Undertaker should be somebody that puts certain people over. I think in a way that streak and everything in a perfect world, my perfect world anyway, would be just leave the streak alone. But if it had to have been beat, I would have rather it been Bray Wyatt to beat it, not Brock Lesnar. So, like I said, if he would have gone undefeated until this year, then lost to Wyatt, I would have been like, hey, you know, 1 year from now, I'd be able to look back on that and be like, yeah, I'm over it. I'm good with it. But I just don't see a point in it this year. I think he should just retire and enjoy life.
All right. Now, I've seen a lot on social media about that, about what is the point in having him face Bray Wyatt now that the streak is over. Honestly, I'm going to go with Dylan here that this could be a really good match, and the reason why is the way the story is being built up, and I think that's what a lot of people are failing to see. Some of the things he said, the last thing he said at Fastlane when he finally addressed it was The Undertaker. He said, at WrestleMania, I will claim the soul of The Undertaker. On Raw this past Monday, he was explaining how, again, what happened to him was a tragedy. The streak ended. However, he was saying that he is still around and the job was never finished. Therefore, at WrestleMania, Bray Wyatt is the one who's going to put the final nail in the coffin to eliminate The Undertaker, which I think would make Bray Wyatt look even stronger than Brock Lesnar if Brock Lesnar can't take out The Undertaker, but Bray Wyatt can finish it.
I definitely see what you're saying, but there's two things I want to say. One, think about Brock's run this last year. Granted, the streak win did give him a lot of momentum that he had lost because of his feud with Triple H, but the way they carried it out just does not work. I think if they had saved it for Wyatt and had Wyatt beat Cena last year, you could have built a whole new monster out of him. Now, on your what you said, it makes sense. Because, you know, Brock beat the streak, but Taker's not gone, so Wyatt wants to be the guy that permanently ends him. Plus, it goes in with all the promos he had, like nailing the coffin shut, and, you know, his whole Fastlane thing. So they're giving it a good wrinkle, which I appreciate and certainly adds more to the match than I would have expected. Because we were debating Wyatt and Taker back in, like, November. And we weren't sure how it was going to go because, oh, the streak's over. How are they going to build this up? They're building it up as good as they can. And with Wyatt, as good at promos as he is, it's definitely going to add some fuel. I'm expecting Taker maybe the Monday before Mania. So Wyatt is going to have to pull some major promos out of his to get this thing even further up.
All right. I mean, and I honestly think with Bray Wyatt, that is doable. But as always, as we say every week, when we're going into the next week, we'll see how it plays out. So John Cena, Rusev, that match, not bad for a Cena match, I gotta say. That's where I'll put it, and, I think what disappointed me the most was that it was not a clean finish. It involved an interference by Lana and a low blow by Rusev, which they did not need. It could have, granted, they're going to push this over to WrestleMania for a rematch. The way to have made that better is that Rusev beat him clean, and that really questions John Cena's strength against Rusev.
Well, we kind of expected that was going to be a dirty finish. I mean, we were talking about that last week. They never want Cena to lose clean unless it's to the just certain right guy. I wish they would have done a little differently, like something different than the low blow, but at least have a title hit to the head or something. But, you know, it is what it is. And I'm not buying this storyline at all. I mean, we're supposed to buy Cena as the veteran, but yet you have a almost 60-year-old Sting wrestling Triple H at Mania. Really?
Brandon, what's your take on the whole Rusev-Cena thing?
I think we actually almost kind of had to expect a dirty finish. I mean, you know how John Cena works and his resiliency and the way creative works with him. I mean, he wins almost every match, whether or not he had to have been put over. I mean, I think the dirty finish there just kind of sealed the deal with Rusev defeating him. When it comes to the WrestleMania match, I think it's dumb. I don't. Why do we need John Cena to fight Rusev? Put somebody else in there that can fight Rusev. Even get put over. Just like I said it last week, John Cena is not the one that should be beating Rusev for the first time. Sorry.
And I absolutely agree. It should not be Cena. And I actually got a kick out of his little promo from Monday night where he was talking about this whole thing. It was adorable, right? And he said that I never gave... He gave his normal bullshit, never give up, never back down. But then he brings up that he knew he was about to be the first to break the accolade. Bullshit. Jack Swagger broke it. If I'm not mistaken, Big E broke it. John Cena was not the first to break the accolade.
Well, WWE thinks that the fans have memories of goldfishes. So they think that we can't remember that. You gotta think like them, Dan.
You want me to think like creative?
No. But you gotta imagine you're in their head.
Well, there's a lot of room for me to move around then. So at the end of the I think we're already getting a headache from talking about this Rusev Cena feud. It's worst idea ever. But
not ever. We are gonna get into more of those in a minute.
All right, fair enough. Six-man tag match from Fastlane. At the end of that, we finally see the return of Randy Orton. Comes in, clears out the Authority, delivers RKOs everywhere, and the next night on Raw, he appears to be back with the Authority. Personally...
Which I have a rant on this.
Oh, well, before you rant on, my friend, I'm going to say this is actually a move for him to get close to Seth to finally take him out. Rant on, Dylan.
Okay. I get what they did on Monday is to get him closer to Rollins. But it makes no sense after they pretty much kicked him to the curb back in like September, October, and then have him come back, and then just that easily go back to the Authority. And they forgive him for killing everybody at the pay-per-view, and we're just supposed to go along with it. It makes no sense to me. And I want to add something else on the pay-per-view match. How much sense does it make to have Kane pin Dolph Ziggler in a match they didn't need to win?
It makes about as much sense as the Rusev-John Cena storyline.
And to make it worse, it was the first match on the card, and you had Randy come back. That completely drained the crowd. If this had been in the middle of the card, it probably wouldn't have been much of a problem. But if it's the first match and the fans just go crazy about it, it kills them for the next two or three matches, and that's exactly what it did.
I tell you what, if that six-man match was the second-to-last match before... If that was the match before Reigns and Bryan, it would have been the perfect pick-me-up for that match. You would have had the fans that were just so pissed off about... You would have had your 10-year-old kids mad that Cena lost. You would have all the adults like, haha, Cena lost. But at the same time, it's like no one knows what to feel there because of how much Rusev bashes on America. Then you bring in the six-man match. Orton returns. The whole place loses their mind. And then you bring in Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan.
It definitely would have worked better.
So I mean, speaking of Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, overall, it again, Roman has work to do when it comes to long-term matches. Bryan, though, made him look good. He did. I'm going to give him that. The one issue that I know, Brandon, you and I saw, was that Roman Reigns is able to kick out at least once out of the running knee, but one spear to Daniel Bryan put him out of his misery.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was just kind of ridiculous to me. I mean, the running knee has put so many people out, and the spear, I mean, he only does it half anyway.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you know that they're going to play into Brock having a busted rib at Mania for Reigns to beat him, which makes no sense after you consider what happened at the Rumble with Brock in the three-way match. But I especially hate what happened on Raw afterwards with Heyman and Bryan pretty much endorsing him.
Absolutely. You know? I completely agree there. It's creative is trying to pull out all the stops to get Reigns over with the crowd, and it is working to no avail. You had The Rock come out at the Royal Rumble. That didn't work. You had Daniel Bryan do it. That didn't work. Then you had to bring out Paul Heyman. This is the guy anyone will listen to, and they will buy it. And guess what? He didn't sell it well enough to them.
And it's funny you say that, because if they simply said that Brock is leaving after WrestleMania, and Reigns is the last, you know, hurrah to keep the belt in the company, it may not be 100% perfect, but at least be a credible build, at least get people in his court. But they haven't done it, which makes no sense to me.
So you're thinking they play it off kind of like as the old John Cena versus CM Punk, or Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, where it's like, I'm done and I'm taking the belt with me. I gotcha.
Exactly.
It could work. It could, but I don't think they're going to pull that one out. I think they're just going to let this happen. And Brandon, what's your take on it?
I agree with Dylan. Creative here is ball-less. I mean, they're catering to the fans' every need. You saw that the last 2 years with the last two Royal Rumbles. You know, they wanted Roman Reigns to win last year. It didn't happen. Now they're like, oh, all right, well, we'll make it up to you, and he can win this year. Well, guess what? The fans didn't want that. So I bet you next year something probably happens. I bet you you see probably maybe Dolph Ziggler wins next year. Who knows? Well, it doesn't mean the fans are going to like it. I mean, to some point, creative and the rest of the WWE has to stand up and be like, no, this is a storyline, okay? Just because, you know, Roman Reigns was great, you know, a few months ago, a few months later, we're going to let him win in the Royal Rumble and then main event Mania.
Well,
at some point, they got to stand up for themselves.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but you read Dave Meltzer, right?
I do, yeah. Brandon. I'm not sure if you do.
Because he did a very long article about the middle of this last week that perfectly encapsulates the whole feelings and this whole situation of Reigns and Bryan and WWE management in general, with picking Reigns over Bryan, who's a proven commodity, and they've just destroyed him. Well, I guess destroy is too harsh, but they've definitely cheapened him as far as being a draw and being somebody who the fans like. But, yeah, and, well, I'll go into that for a little bit. Basically, he says that WWE would rather go with the plan rather than switch it up for somebody who is just just crazy over. Do you think that if back in 1997, if they went with this same idea, Steve Austin would be over? Now, Daniel Bryan's push is not the same as Steve Austin's because they mishandled it completely. But you see what I'm saying there?
I absolutely see what you're saying, yeah. But I think the difficulty with comparing today to 1997 is that you weren't dealing with IWC critics. You weren't dealing with so many people reading all the rumors, because back then, right, AOL version 3.0 was the thing, and no one was going to go through that waiting just to read it. And it kept the element of surprise, and it kept you wanting just to know what was going on with the story. And that's the unfortunate thing about today, is that people know what's going to happen ahead of time, and they just, oh, I don't like that. It's unfortunate. I feel the internet killed wrestling.
Well, I won't say it killed it. It's just creativity killed wrestling. Because they can't come up with any good ideas. It's like the Cena Punk situation. That worked beautifully. And it just came completely out of the blue. And fans thought it was real. You gotta be able to work the fans. And they're not doing that. They're basically telling their fans, you don't matter. We're going with what we want. And this also works into something about the Divas that I really want to talk about.
And we will. And because I just remembered you guys talking creative, and we were talking about things that had no balls, and I wanted to move on to the Divas, since I feel like that kind of applied there. Before we get on to what we know has been trending as the hashtag give Divas a chance, a lot of people, so I've been reading, are actually kind of high on Nikki Bella right now. They're saying, and Dylan, I see a shake in your head here, but I will even give her some props. She has made massive improvement with her in-ring ability over, given a year. We'll say a year, and you can tell that there is improvement there. I think what people are getting on her case about is because she's dating the face.
You know for a fact that her dating John Cena has something to do with this. And I'm going to support this because she was one of the only women, at least on the main roster, that spoke up for the Divas. Now, do you think if anybody else that was in a lesser position, because she's dating John Cena and she's got the belt, so she's got to have at least some power back there. Do you think anybody else who said that was not going to get repercussions or something? Let's say if it was, you know, Natalia, who said that. Something would have happened.
I mean,
I agree.
Yeah, that's possible, just because, hey, Natty is the nephew of Bret Hart, and, I mean, we all know what feelings between that family is.
Nephew and niece, you mean.
You see? You know what I meant. That's why we do this show together. But, yes, I do understand where you're coming from here, and that actually brings me to AJ Lee calling Stephanie McMahon out on Twitter. I can't even pull it up right now, but I know there was stuff about wages and just everything on how the Divas division is heavily underutilized. She completely took shots at Stephanie, and Stephanie replied with, thank you for your input. Keep in mind, AJ is still under contract with WWE. For how much longer, though?
Not for long.
The other thing we saw, though, this kind of happened starting in the middle of Raw this past Monday, was the hashtag Give Divas a Chance. Vince McMahon actually used it on his Twitter account saying, I hear you, stay tuned. Hashtag Give Divas a Chance. So, is this going to be Vince is actually going to give him a shot, or is Vince going to be Vince and completely screw something up here to where he's going to give him a long match, but it's going to be something ridiculous?
It's going to be Vince being Vince. They've had the last 8 months, if it's proven anything, is that NXT does women's wrestling like women's wrestling should be in WWE. The main roster doesn't give a crap. Okay? The longest match, and I did stopwatches on these, the longest match on the main roster was, well, including pay-per-views, was about 6.5 minutes. The longest one in NXT, 14.75 minutes. So you could fit 2.5 matches on the in NXT. And the fact that they went to 30, not even 30 seconds on Raw on a 3-hour show, is just insulting. Now, they shouldn't be having 10-minute matches unless you know it's going to be a good one. But what we're saying is give them at least more time. You know, there are people out there that actually do care about women's wrestling, and they don't just look at them as eye candy. You know?
Yep.
So,
Paige actually said something about that, too. I don't know if you guys read it, but she was doing an interview or something like that, and she had said that NXT, the women, they actually get to wrestle, and WWE, it's actually kind of sad. She was comparing the two, and she said, by far, NXT is way better when Divas wrestling. And actually right, allowed now, them to perform.
Now, Brandon, with that being said, I want to get back into this Divas thing, but first, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to let you guys listening at home, we're going to let you know how you can keep in contact with myself and Dylan and any questions you might have for our special guest today, Brandon. So here's that. Here's how you can keep up with us on social media. We'll be right back.
And now a message from Double D's WrestleTalk.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel of Double D's WrestleTalk, here to tell you, the listeners, of how you can be a part of our show. All you have to do is like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. It's relatively simple. You go to facebook.com/DDWrestleTalk. It's all one word. There's no underscores. There's no numbers. You just have to remember DDWrestleTalk. It's that simple. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you follow us at DDWrestleTalk. Again, simple. It's the same way as Facebook. Like us, follow us, tell us your opinion. We hope to hear from you. Well, there it is again. Facebook.com/DDWrestleTalk. Follow us on Twitter at DDWrestleTalk. I told you, we're going to get back into the Divas, and we're staying on the topic here, but before we jump back into what we've really been talking about, something I just kind of read up on was a rumored Hall of Fame inductee being announced Monday. And I tell you what, if this is Vince's way of giving the fans, quote-unquote, give Divas a chance, I'm going to be upset if this is the only way he's going to do it, and that's the induction is rumored to be former Diva Alundra Blaze. And a lot of listeners out there that have watched the Monday Night Wars, have watched WCW, WWE, this is the woman that went on to WCW Nitro with, at the time, WWF women's title and threw it in the trash can on television. She's obviously deserving of it, but again, if this is Vince's way of giving them a chance, I'm going to be quite irritated about it.
You know, I really don't have much to say about this. I mean, yeah, she put the title in the trash, but it didn't really amount to anything. I mean, hell, 7 months later, WCW didn't even have a women's division anymore. So, you know, in retrospect, it wasn't really that groundbreaking. Now, as far as the give Divas a chance thing and how this corresponds,
I got to cut you off, Dylan, just because it wasn't very groundbreaking. That is something you don't do. She took the competition's title onto the new show she's on and says, "F this," drops it in there. I'm going to disagree with you on that, but every man is entitled to his opinion. I respect your opinion, but mine's better.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, you know,
get back to the main point. It's not a good way, and the timing is just really, really weird for this one with all the controversy that's been going around. If they had announced this maybe, I want to say, 2 weeks later, there probably wouldn't have been as much of a problem. But if this is the same week as the Divas thing's happening, it just makes them look horrible.
It absolutely does. And, I mean, let's get back to just how different the Divas division in WWE is compared to the women's division in NXT. And it's like, again, it's back onto this hashtag, give Divas a chance. And why not? They have Divas with the caliber that, and I'm putting out big names here, and they're big boots for them to lace up. Trish Stratus and Lita. You know they have them of that caliber there. Why not? They had Trish Stratus and Lita headline a Monday Night Raw. Why not bring up Charlotte? Why not bring back AJ? Why not bring back the anti-diva version of Paige? Those three, I'm not saying a triple threat match, but out of those three, put two of them together and you will have a main event worthy diva match.
But yeah, I mean, you don't just have those three wrestlers you could go to on the, because unlike, you know, back in the day, you have at least, you know, 6 to 8 women's wrestlers who can put on good matches and good stories. You have Charlotte, you have Paige, you have AJ, even though AJ is probably not going to be around until after Mania. You have Sasha Banks, you have Bayley, you have Blue Pants. We will not go into any more about that because we had enough of that last week. We have maybe Carmella, although she's not that good. But the point is, they have the most talent they've had in quite some time that can legitimately wrestle. And the fact that they're not planning on utilizing it as good as it can be is absolutely insulting.
Carmella, I think, seems to be more of an accessory right now.
Yeah.
Being with Enzo and Cass. And, I mean, I think there is a way to bring back Paige's anti-diva. It would pretty much just be an experiment, whether you have to write her off of television for a little bit and make her come back with a drastic return back into that mean streak that she had in NXT and when she first showed up. I think it's possible. It would be something that they would have to experiment with, but they'd have to do it right, because this experiment could easily go wrong and completely wipe her out of ever being taken seriously again.
Brandon, you got anything to say?
Yeah. The way the Diva division seems to work, like we were saying, they don't seem to get a lot of TV time, or maybe I should rephrase to saying, you know, like Paige right now, she'll get a ton of TV time and then she'll disappear for a month or two, and then it'll probably be two other divas getting all the TV time, and then after that Paige will be back feuding with somebody else. So to Daniel's point, they could definitely make something work with writing Paige off for a little while to anti-diva back. But to a different point too, to Vince's give it a chance or stand by or whatever he said, for WWE being such a family-oriented company, you got to understand, and the listeners have to understand, that divas still make less than the male superstars. And that's a fact. And that's a fact that's true not only for WWE, but for all of America, too. And we could get into this and go crazy, but we're not going to, because that's a totally different show that's not meant for Double D's Wrestle Talk. That's meant for friggin' Fox News or some other shit. But I definitely think we could make an anti-diva thing work. From NXT, I definitely like to see Charlotte and Bayley come up. And definitely let's not give them some stupid Mighty Mouse gimmick, because I would feel horrible if that actually happened.
Oh, no, that's and for Adrian Neville.
No, I understand. Well, I'm making the comparison here that WWE has been known to do that, and it's ridiculous.
Right. And, I mean, again, yeah, bring up Bayley, bring up Charlotte, bring up Sasha Banks. For one, I would like to see on Raw the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men for Bayley.
That would be awesome.
Imagine
a Mania entrance with those.
Just all up and down the ramp. I mean, let's not start setting the stage right now. We'll leave that to creative, and then we'll tell them how they f***ed it up. But, I mean, I tell you what, we spent a good, very good majority here on the divas. Dylan, I don't know if you had any more to say about it.
Nothing really much, other than just people were debating whether AJ's Twitter messages were for a storyline. Those were not. They definitely felt real to me, because she knows she doesn't have much time left. So just let's fire off a shot before we get out of here.
Yeah. So, with that being said, the hashtag give divas a chance. Well, divas, you got a well-deserved chance on a chunk of our show here at Double D's Wrestle Talk. And hopefully something will turn around here and we'll see something better come out of the Divas division. But so with that being said, it is time for
the What the F*** moment of the week.
That's right, the WTF moment of the week. And out of all the things I could go off of here, I want to go with Randy Orton. And I mean, it's, I know what they're trying to do here. They're going to try and get him close to Seth, but again, the way they did it, he got written off by getting demolished by the Authority, and then he comes back as a mad baby face, and then the next day, just like that, he's with the Authority. So I guess it wouldn't even really be Randy Orton getting the moment, so it's more back to creative, like it always is. And that is
the What the F*** moment of the week.
Alright, so let's move on here. We've talked about Rusev Cena, we've talked about Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, we've talked about the Divas. Something interesting that has been coming up here, we have a confirmed multi-man ladder match for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. They must have been listening to the show last week when I said what I said about pay-per-views being named after the show, because here we are now getting a ladder match, and it's not at TLC. And it's one I'm actually looking forward to, just because we know Bad News Barrett will obviously be in it, given Dean Ambrose, and from what we saw on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan, and I'm pretty sure R-Truth will be involved. Dylan, what's your take on this match?
Well, it's not just the match. Can I also go over this whole storyline in general?
Absolutely.
I feel absolutely horrible for Wade Barrett ever since he's come back. This has been the biggest deep push I've ever seen. Has the guy won one non-title match the whole time he's held the belt? And then the way he lost on Sunday, and it hurt both guys. Because he had Ambrose for 2 weeks talking about how, you know, prestigious the IC title is, and then you have him lose because he's kicking too much ass. It's like, really? But I get what they're doing with the ladder match. It's basically Money in the Bank without Money in the Bank. And if you're going to try and make the title matter, I guess put in a high-stakes match. But, you know, the story's so old. I'm not sure what to think at this point. Maybe within 2 weeks of Mania, we'll have more stable ground to stand on. But right now, I'm looking forward to the match, but it's the journey there is incredibly bumpy.
All right. Now, is this possibly, I mean, they said multi-man, they never specified how many. From what it looks like, though, where they've been putting R-Truth in storylines, it looks like four definites will be Bad News Barrett, R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, and Daniel Bryan. Who else could we see in this match? Dolph Ziggler, for one.
And I don't think they're going to do. The word is that they're having another battle royal, and he's going to be in it. Now, I would be happy if it was an IC title match, that's for sure. But, you know, they haven't made any inclusions for him yet. Him and Luke Harper, I would be really happy with having an IC title match, and Cesaro as well, but he's probably going to be in the battle royal too. You know, I'm willing to bet that they're going to have six men, but we're not going to find out until this week. That they're probably going to include the other two guys because they're going to need time to.
What about a returning Sheamus?
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that because word through the grapevine was he was supposed to be doing something with Daniel Bryan, but you know maybe he could be a new guy in the IC title match. You know, you never really know. I would like it, and maybe this could be the catalyst to him becoming a bad guy. You know, it can only go good from there. Is what I'm getting at. Brandon, what do you think?
I don't know if I can see. I don't know if I want Daniel Bryan to have the IC. I mean, Dylan, it's to your point. I think it was last week you said the IC title and the U.S. title. I believe you said it was something along the lines of, what's the point? And if so-and-so has the belt, they'll bring it back to glory. Now, my question to you guys would be, if Bryan wins that belt, are they downplaying him? Are they getting ready to get rid of him? Because after all, he has a neck injury that was similar to what Edge said. And Edge was borrowed time. So is it fair to argue that Daniel Bryan's wrestling on borrowed time? And if they give him one of those two belts, that they're planning on him probably not being much more longer.
I mean, I said the same thing, though, putting John Cena in a U.S. title match. Is it
right.
more... Is it more of they're getting ready to get rid of him, or is it it's time for Daniel Bryan to face the facts they're not going to put him in that title picture just because that's what social media is wanting?
I see it for what it is. They're just downplaying the guy because he's lost all of his momentum. The fans have just, they're mentally given up, so they're just going to put him as an upper mid-carder, you know, maybe holding the IC belt, maybe not. He's just going to help other people have good matches and help him get over. That's what he's going to be. He's basically going to be Benoit 2.0. If you really look at it, his story is almost exactly like Benoit's was.
And yes, we're allowed to say that name here on Double D's Wrestle Talk because it's our show. If you don't like it, go f*** yourself. Let's, it's, as you can tell, it's very stale for us trying to even talk up WWE in the main roster and creative. Let's move on here to NXT from this past Wednesday. We saw Hideo Tommy, Bull Dempsey, and I felt that match was kind of just random to have those two go up against each other. Tommy not even attempting a GTS, go figure, the size of Dempsey. After this match, though, again, which Tommy won, he gets super kicked on the stage by Tyler Breeze, where we're going to more than likely here see a continuing feud. I mean, Tommy got him out of the, took him back down to the ring and threw him out. We're obviously seeing a continuing feud here between Tommy and Tyler Breeze, which, again, I think that's the opponent for him to whip out the GTS.
Could not agree more. They have a story there that they can work with. I saw people saying, you know, it's got to be against Balor, it's got to be against Zayn, it's got to be against Owens to do the GTS too. No, this writes itself. If you have him hit the GTS on on Breeze, who Tommy is known to make the GTS look particularly vicious, you know, you can make it look like Breeze had his face busted open, and you have a feud to continue right then and there. So I enjoy that they're continuing this. Now, Tommy and Dempsey was definitely a very, very random match. And the fact that Bull lost in, like, what, 5 minutes? And barely got any offense in? He's going down the card. You know, he's going to be gone probably by this time. Well, not even this time next year. Probably by summer at this rate.
I mean, I wouldn't say that he got no offense. I would say the first part of the match, he was on offense because they let him play the size advantage over Tommy. But, of course, they're going to, like you said, he's slipping down the card. It's going to turn around to Tommy taking him out. But, again, that, like you said, the GTS getting set up for Tyler Breeze, it's writing itself. And if they don't pull the trigger on it with Tyler Breeze, I honestly don't think they should. It would be the perfect opportunity.
Yep, just like you said. You know, that's all I really have on that subject.
I mean, I don't have much to say here about the next match, which was the Lucha Dragons versus Ty Dillinger and Jason Jordan. It just turned into a match where Ty Dillinger got into the match and refused to tag in Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan walks out, and Ty Dillinger gets pinned. It actually led into the next match because he said he was not leaving, and he said he doesn't care who has the next match. He'll fight whoever has the next match, and out comes the lone wolf, Baron Corbin, to just drop him in a matter of seconds with End of Days, and that was the end of that. And that brought us into Bayley and Becky Lynch. Again, NXT, where there is no piss break.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, there was definitely a piss break for the tag team match. I mean, the whole time happening, all I could think of was, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care, because you're breaking up two guys who nobody really cares about. I mean, if it was like I don't want them to break up, but if it was like the Vaudevillains, people would really care about it. But since these are two essentially nobodies, I mean, there's really not much reason to care. And then you moved on to Baron Corbin's match. It was a standard Baron Corbin match. He beat the guy up and hit him at the end of days.
Now, what did you think, though, of Bayley versus Becky Lynch? Becky Lynch won this one due to a submission. It was more of a reverse armbar. It was nasty looking, actually.
Well, I loved it. You know, it wasn't anything that would set the world on fire, but it was pretty decent. It was, you know, a good match to watch. It's like I said, I think it was either last week or the week before. I'm hoping that they go with a Bayley and Sasha Banks program. You know, they're trying to build up Bayley as the female Sami Zayn, so why not have that work again? Current women's champion in NXT, who acts like the boss of the place. You can get a decent story out of that. It would work. Because obviously Charlotte's being phased out because she's predicted to be going up to the main roster the night after Mania, which would be excellent. And so you need to have a new, I wouldn't say second, but rival, let's say.
Right. And, Yeah, overall, great match for the women again in NXT. I can never applaud them enough. And I feel, yeah, Bayley, she's kind of the female Sami Zayn. And I don't know what it is. It might be the way she carries herself or her look or something, but for some reason I keep seeing Becky Lynch as a new Lita.
Most definitely. I mean, I saw her, I think, a couple weeks ago when she was wearing the plaid getup. I saw Lita 2.0. Now, they got to work on her gimmick a little bit because she's supposed to be this, you know, rocker chick who headbangs, which Corey Graves, you know, doesn't let go to no end because he lives the lifestyle. So he works it into her matches to just get on her butt about it. But she's definitely got the qualifications.
Yeah, Corey Graves is about as much for her head banging as I am for blue pants. It's just, it's not working for either of us. But, all right, main event of NXT was Finn Balor and the returning, as we mentioned last week, we knew who was coming, but we weren't going to ruin it, the Brian Kendrick. And this match, it was definitely good, I think, because Finn Balor was in it. I think something that was kind of upsetting was that there was no surprise that he was facing Kendrick. And unlike when you opened NXT last week and it was Rhino and everyone just blew out of their seats, I think Kendrick would have got a better reaction if Balor's opponent that night was not released until it happened.
Absolutely. I mean, you're definitely... Well, he got a good reaction, but it wasn't near anything what Rhino got. And on the match, I thought it was okay, but it definitely could have been better. Kendrick just seemed a little... I wouldn't say a whole much, but just a little off. You know, it flowed, but I think they could have done a lot. It's not to discredit any of them. It's just... I know these two could definitely put a better match on, but it's Kendrick's first match back at WWE after their big breakup. So we'll see more. But the real story, I think you failed to mention, was a certain Kevin Owens sitting at the
end of the table. Now, here's the thing. I was going to get into that. We had Kevin Owens on commentary, and, I mean, Alex Riley pushing every button that was within pushing range, causes Owens to walk out unannounced to him, and he goes, I'm going to leave before I do something I regret. He's gone for the rest of the match. Balor wins this match with his double stomp. Leg stomp, the coup de grace, and after pinfall, Owens comes back. Owens stares down Balor, he looks over at the announce table, and then he attacks Alex Riley, and he walks out. Now, from what I understand, Alex Riley is supposed to be making a return to in-ring competition, so I could see what they're trying to do here. They're trying to set him up for a return match. However, I think, in a way, for those who don't, like, listen to the rumors and stuff, it's like, it made Owens look somewhat weak, because it's like, that was supposed to be a statement. You beat up a commentator.
Oh, no. It made him look absolutely brilliant, because he didn't have to do much. Because you could tell. They worked it to make it look like Riley was antagonizing him. And Owens was just giving him the straight answers. If you saw it, there was, I don't know what it was that Riley said, but Owens shot him a look like he wanted to shove a branding iron through his face. So it was, you kind of sided with Owens then. You had him just go through and then beat the crap out of Riley. Then you get sympathy on him. I will say right now, I cannot boo Owens, okay? It's impossible. You could have him blow up a hospital and I couldn't boo him, okay? I'm being honest.
Yeah, but you mentioned that last week of all the terrible things Kevin Owens could do, and you just cannot boo the guy just because of how well he does his character. I mean, we're going to be seeing Finn Balor, Kevin Owens here in a couple weeks, I'm assuming. I'm definitely looking forward to that match next week. I believe they said is going to be a returning Sami Zayn to address the NXT universe, I guess they would call it. And I mean, we'll see how it goes. I know we're supposed to, in all retrospect, Sami Zayn should be having a rematch because he lost his title. But at the same time, now you have Finn Balor as the number one contender. It's going to be interesting to see how they play that off.
Well, Brandon, we've been leaving you in the dark the whole time. Speak up, boy.
Well, you guys got to remember, I just watched my first NXT last week. For all you listeners out there, I finally subscribed to WWE Network, and you guys were right. I didn't know what I was missing. But holy NXT, I mean, those were matches right there. To Kevin Owens and the commentator, I think it made him look a little bit more like a heel, but like I said, NXT, so I don't really know. So to my understanding, is Kevin Owens is that heel that you cannot boo? Well, maybe his defeat of the commentator just kind of cemented his role as a heel. Maybe you still can't boo him, but it's still putting him off as a heel.
Brandon, all I will say is if you thought that what you saw on Wednesday was great, you've got a lot to catch up on.
I know. I almost don't have enough time in the day.
I know. Like I said, I have to bust balls on here.
I've already thrown it out there. Brandon, you go back there, you watch our Evolution, you watch the first TakeOver, you watch Rival, and you will not be disappointed that you're spending $10.08. That's right. It's not just $9.99. You have to include tax. They don't tell you that. Dirty fucks. So, the $10.08. It's worth the $10.08. But with that being said, you just heard the bell there, which means...
And now, Dylan's Awesome Possum Moment of the Week.
My Awesome Possum Moment of the Week is none other than Bray Wyatt's promo at Fastlane. Bray Wyatt, he's a one-man promo army. The Undertaker's not around, but I'll still talk to him like he's there. Dead man, you better come out, because this man is calling you at WrestleMania. Bray Wyatt's a man who I think could sell yellow snow to an Eskimo, and I'll be trying to buy it. And that is my Awesome Possum Moment of the Week.
All right, so there it was, Dylan's Awesome Possum Moment of the Week. We want to thank you all for joining us again this week for another episode of Double D's Wrestle Talk. Hopefully, next week, we'll have a little more to talk about. Granted, creative gives us something. So, for now, I'm Daniel.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Dylan.
Saying thank you, and it's still real to me, damn it.